Let's all stand for the reading of God's holy word. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 49. How to Hope is the series title. Because the people of God go through a whole lot in their lives, the true saints of God. And you need for God to keep hope alive in your heart. Otherwise, you will become depressed and sad and melancholy and defeated like so many Christians have become, to the point some are committing suicide, killing others in their own family. If they were saved in the first place, and then killing themselves. How to Hope, Lessons from the Israelites and Their Messianic Expectation, Part 14. So many people are hopeless, even in the church. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 49. 8 through 10. Verse 8, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. And by the way, we are humbly proud of reading from the Old Testament, the Word of God. It is the divinely inspired, inerrant Word of God. It has always been, it is now, and it will always be. My heart was blessed last night. I've never seen him in this way before, but before I went to bed, I popped on the television, and there was Andy Stanley preaching a pretty solid message from the Old Testament, and end up saying that David was a great leader because he never turned his back on the law. I said, alrighty then, are we seeing a change? Glory be to God. And I hope he truly confesses his sins and repents and clears up this confusion that he has caused. The Old Testament and the New Testament is the divinely inspired, inerrant, holy Word of God. Andy Stanley says that he's not going to refer to tell people the Bible says anymore. And I decided to say, well, you know what I'm going to say? The Holy Bible says, not just the Bible says, but the Holy Bible says. Be that as it may, Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for all of your holy word. Everywhere we read from, the true child of God is blessed by your holy word. Convicted, cut, dealt with by your holy word. And Holy Father God, we pray that you will remind us, encourage us, and bless us through your holy word today, on how to hope in these last and evil days in which we live, while so many are losing hope who claim to be Christians and believers. Lord, help your remnant to stand, even though they may be bloody. They may be in deep water and in deep trouble. Comfort them as only you can by your holy word. Save those who are lost. Revive those who are saved. And help us to do everything we can by your grace to stand and to withstand the evil that's coming our way. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. And what a beautiful day it is, and what a beautiful place this is to worship God. Okay, you still having a connection problem here? You got it now? Okay. Do what you can and make sure that works properly. It may just be an issue because it is live. So it may be an issue with what you got over there. And all you can do is go live. So once you go live this time, let's leave it. But for those who are participating elsewhere, we thank God for your presence, all of our friends from all around the world. We get folks from Russia every day, and China, and all around the world, and we thank God for you, and we're praying for you. And please pray for us while I'm preaching. Please pray for us. And thank you so much for coming without my having to beg you to come and plead with you to come, ask you to come. Thank you for bringing others. Thank you for all of the stars and hearts and floating things that you sent up giving to God, giving God the praise and the honor. For none of it is due us. How to hope, lessons from the Israelites and their messianic expectation, part 14. Dr. Victor Hamilton said, Judah is not disqualified because of his immorality. Clearly, he is cut out for a place of preeminence and royal leadership. These verses confirm the messianic thrust of this section, as Judah will usher in an age of abundance and prosperity for the entire world. And he did, through Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Now, beloved, in our last few messages, we have looked at Jacob's response to God meeting him at Bethel. A lot had happened since Jacob made his commitment to God at Bethel. He went to work for his mother's family, which is always a dicey situation. And over the course of 14 years, he gained 2 wives and 2 concubines, with whom he eventually produced 12 sons, known as the 12 sons of Israel, and 2 daughters. From his work for Laban, he gained wealth through shepherding and livestock and a little bit of being slick. And eventually he came back to the land of Canaan. In his later years, famine struck, and he and his family moved to Egypt, where God had used a series of unfortunate events to pave the way for their acceptance, sustenance in that strange land. Now Jacob, having been reunited with Joseph, the son he thought was dead, what a reuniting it was. What a reunion it was. Is ready himself to die in peace. He calls his sons before him and blesses them each individually. It is in this series of blessings that we find a hopeful foreshadowing of the coming of Messiah, Jesus Christ. Judah is the fourth born of Jacob's sons, and of him Jacob gives a blessing of triumph and power. Thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be on the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he touched, or rather he couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Now, beloved, regarding this passage, Dr. John Walvoort and Dr. Roy Zuck said in this oracle, through the Bible Knowledge Commentary, Jacob predicted a fierce lion-like dominance of Judah over his enemies and over his brothers who would praise him. They go on to say a wordplay was made here on the name Judah, which means praise. The oracle pivots on the word until, when the promised one who will rule the nations appears. The scene will become an earthly paradise. These verses anticipate the kingship in Judah, culminating in the reign of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, in which nations will obey him. Many sources see Shiloh as a title of the Messiah. However, the Hebrew word Shiloh should be rendered whose it is. That is, the scepter will not depart from Judah until he comes, whose it is. Similar words in Ezekiel 21:27, until he comes to whom it rightly belongs, talking about the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Truly, keep hope alive. Keep the blessed hope alive. Learn to hope. Not how to hope, but learn to hope. Some of you right now are falling apart because you don't know how to hope. You need to keep your hope, and I'm here to tell you, you have no hope without the Word of God, dear friend. I hate to burst your bubble. But I have no hope, you have no hope. Nobody has hope without the Word of God. Your hope needs to rest upon the Old Testament and the New Testament, the divinely inspired Word of God. And I doubt very seriously if you're born again, if you don't believe that the Bible comes from God. It is divinely inspired, inerrant Word of God. I believe that with all of my heart. For you see, the reason why I say that is because when the Word of God comes to you, either through reading or hearing it through the radio or podcast or hearing it preached from a pulpit, it does something on the inside of the child of God. That's a fact. Coming from somebody who hated preachers with a passion, who hated church with a passion before I got saved. Preaching and all that bored me to tears, to sleep every Sunday. I got my best sleep in church, as do some of you. But when I hear the Word of God preach, my head begins to nod. Something happens deep down on the inside, and it happens to every Bible-believing Christian. Every born-again Christian is like food for the soul. Don't tell me to unhitch from the Old Testament. Don't tell me. Half of my life would not exist without the Old Testament. And the other half would not exist without the New Testament. Don't tell me that the Word of God is not powerful. I know this for a fact. And the reason why I preach the gospel and the Word of God every day, because I know it has an impact. And it will not come. In the Old Testament, it tells us, it will not come back void, man. It's that powerful. It cuts both ways. My family would not exist without the Word of God. My wife and I would not have been married for 32 years without the Word of God in prayer. And most other Christian marriages would not have survived without the Word of God. I'm committed to the Word of God, and so is my wife. That's the reason why we have not gone to Splitsville, the Word of God. Similar words in Ezekiel 21:7, until he comes, 21:27, thank you, until he comes to whom it rightfully belongs, were addressed to the last king of Judah. With the coming of Messiah, there will be paradise-like splendor. For Judah, grapevines will be so abundant that they will be used for hitching posts. Wine will be as abundant as wash water. In Judah, people's eyes will be red or bright from wine, and their teeth will be white from drinking milk. My, my, my. That's going to be a great day. These are picturesque ways of describing the suitability of Judah's territory for vineyards. Such opulence will be evident in the millennium. Now that's, end of quote. Let me go ahead and put an end of quote on that one, because that comes from Dr. Walford and Dr. Zook. Sound like they know what they're talking about. And so with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go ahead and bring it to a close today. This particular sermon in this series will be a part two, if you will. And so let's stand for a word of prayer. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for the blessed hope that you've given to us. And Lord, help us to learn how to hope as we should, and to keep, as one person said many years ago, hope alive. For so many people are discouraged today. So many people in the church are defeated and sad, because they have refused to believe your holy word. They have refused to read your holy word. And they have refused to look to their blessed hope that your holy word tells us about. That one day, all of this is going to be over. And we will be where the weary will cease from troubling. And the wicked will cease from troubling, and the weary will be at rest. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to hope again. In Jesus Christ's name we pray now for those who have no hope because they have never trusted Christ as Savior. Save their souls today as they hear the gospel. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Now, beloved, if you are with us today and you are not a believer in Christ, you have never responded to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, or you have never heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, I urge you to trust in Jesus Christ today, because he is coming one day. I know it may seem like he's not, but he is. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. As sure as I'm standing here before you, Jesus will arrive one day. And the only reason why he has not come back yet is because he loves you. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, to salvation through faith in him. So I urge you to trust in him today, because he is coming back and you do not want to be left behind. Here is how you can place your faith and trust in him for salvation from sin and the consequences of sin. First, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Jesus, I read that to you because I want you to know that Jesus said that there was a hell, and he said it many times. In fact, he preached on it or talked about it more than anybody in the Bible. He talked about it or preached on it more than he did about heaven. Hell is as sure as New York City is sure. Hell is a city of torment, if you will, or maybe a country of torment, of flames, of darkness, of pain. Jesus said people weep and gnash at the teeth in hell. Jesus pointed out that you will have an agonizing, tormenting memory. People are being beaten up by their memory in hell. How is that? How they mistreated people in this life. How the rich man did not want to give the crumbs that fell from his table to the poor man. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. And now the poor man is taken care of and comforted, and the rich man is tormented. You don't want to go to hell, dear friend. You say, well, preacher, by the way, who's going to hell? Well, by the way, I'm glad you asked. For the Bible tells us specifically some of the folks who will be in hell. Revelation 21, verse 8. But the fearful, people too afraid to get saved because they are afraid of their peers, the peer pressure. What folks might say to them on the job. What folks might say about them on the job. What mom and them might say, oh boy, that Bible is going to make you crazy. All that kind of stuff. Stop reading that Bible so much, boy, and get back into the real world. And the unbelieving, people who don't believe in God, the so-called atheists and agnostics. And the abominable, these are people who sin beyond the pale. The homosexuals, and thank God, because of preachers like myself and other Christians who are standing against this tide of evil in the UK for the first time since the AIDS crisis, people are rejecting the homosexual lifestyle. It's beyond the pale. It's abnormal. It's not normal. It's sin like all other sin, but it's an abomination in God's sight. It is designed to turn God's world upside down by the devil. But not only homosexuals, the Epsteins of the world, or the Epsteins of the world, child molesters and rapists. Thank God. He's getting his due while he's still alive, and he will get more later if he doesn't repent and trust Christ as Savior. Men and women, boys and girls who molest children, underage girls and boys. A pastor's wife this past week has been charged with raping teenage boys. A pastor's wife. Thank God she's off the street. But not only them. People who try to get love and sexual satisfaction from animals. That's beyond the pale, man. No woman can kiss me after she has kissed a dog. That's bad enough for me. You say, she can't kiss you ever in your life? That's right, ever in my life. If a woman kiss a dog on the lips, all that kind of mess going on, she can't ever kiss me, a wife, or whatever. But it's far worse than that nowadays. There are people who love their dogs more than they love human beings. Abominations. Abominations. And on we can go. Murderers, the Bible says, will be in hell. Whoremongers, heterosexuals, adulterers and adulteresses, whoremongers and whores will be in hell. People who had sex with anybody they wanted to have sex with, when they wanted to do it, knowing full well that they will reap what they sow. And they do. Sometimes in this life. And sorcerers, people who practice witchcraft and voodoo, palm readers, and idolaters, people who put anything or anybody before God, and all liars, If God didn't get you on those other ones, he got you on that one. You liar, you. You can't say you never lied before. All liars shall have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, who would make something like that up? You got to do a whole lot of thinking to make something like that up. That comes straight from God, people. There are people in hell today. You think it's hot in Texas? Texas is air conditioned. The whole state is air conditioned compared to hell. One day I thought my air conditioning was not working that great. I went out and came back in from Texas heat. And I said, "Woo, it's cool in here." You can find out real quick whether or not your air conditioning is working in Texas, Jack. Well, Texas heat is air conditioned compared to what hell is like. Now, hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. I have some great news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, I'm just telling you what he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his name is Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is in hell, "but have everlasting life." And all you have to do is believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, as I did December the 19th, 1979. I was not in church, I was in my dorm room. I got saved in spite of growing up in church. If I depended upon what I learned in church growing up, I would have went to hell. No one ever told me the true gospel until I turned 19 years old and I was in the Air Force. And a young man came and showed me from the Bible how to be saved. And I got saved that night, and I've been preaching the gospel ever since then. And you can be saved today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shall be saved. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9 and 10:13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you want to be saved today, dear friend, repeat after me. Believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins. And repeat after me in prayer. Call on his name to save you, and he will. Repeat after me phrase by phrase. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I admit that I have committed many sins against you, that I have broken your Ten Commandments. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. For I have dishonored my parents. I have taken your holy name in vain. I've lied before. I've stolen things before. I've lusted after people and things before. Please have mercy and grace upon my soul and forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for my sins, was buried and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Holy Bible, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving him as your Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you real good, is my prayer.